President Obama's 2017 budget request calls for a $3.1 billion IT modernization fund. But even before the White House and Congress can begin negotiating over that fund, a basic change has to happen. Several agency chief information officers say the definition of a modern IT system is standing in the way of really comprehending the state of agency networks and applications. In his weekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about this growing concern among CIOs. Jason, CIOs, what are they saying? What are they worried about, assuming they get this $3.1 billion modernization fund?
And that's a huge assumption, whether Congress will actually come through and decide to fund this type of modernization fund. But even if they do or they don't, the fact is, Tony Scott, the federal CIO, has been really pushing agencies to spend more on what they call DME, development, modernization, and enhancement, versus money on O&M, operations and maintenance systems. In fact, the latest figures show about 76% of the government's $88 billion federal IT budget is spent on O&M, while obviously 24% is spent on DME. Obviously, Tony Scott wants that pendulum to swing more towards the newer systems than the older systems, but several CIOs say the way OMB sets up the budget codes, the way you decide where money goes, whether you put it into O&M or you put it into DME, is based on old thinking, is based on old technology, if you will. It's not based on this new technology, which is cloud, which is agile, which is iterative development. And that's the definition that's hung up. How can we modernize when we really don't even have a good idea of what we're spending in the first part between DME and O&M? And second, how can we get this fund going when, in fact, we're not sure how to define something? And Tom, let me give you an example to really help our audience understand this. Think about an agency who went to the cloud early. Let's say USDA or GSA is just two that come to mind. They implemented cloud email, let's say, 4 or 5 years ago, right? So in many ways, that's considered steady state or legacy systems. It's 4 or 5 years old. But if that steady state or old cloud email system is being updated continually, and it's being, you know, new patches, new technology, new tools, better storage, you know, quicker routers and switchers and the like, because it's in the cloud, then in fact it's not steady state, it is DME, because it's continually being upgraded. However, an agency who has put it into their budget, how do they do it? It's kind of steady state because it's not a new investment, but it really is a new investment because it's constantly being part of a continuous improvement. So I think that's the rub here, Tom. What is it and how to define it? And I'm not sure OMB or the Federal CIO Council has really taken this on yet I'm hearing it more and more as CIOs talk about this move toward DME and away from O&M.
Could it be that agencies have complained for so long and the White Houses have complained for so long that federal systems are old and antiquated? Everyone just assumes they all are, when in fact, really over the past number of years, there has been a lot of modernizing going on.
I think part of the issue is the way, again, goes back to the way that agencies count that DME funding, the new funding. One agency CIO, this is a Ray Coleman from the Agriculture Department's Natural Resources Conservation Agency, said he actually increased the amount of money his agency or his bureau is spending on new systems just by recalculating where that money's coming from. He didn't change money. He just said, listen, we went up by 10% just because we reclassified some of that spending. And I think that's part of the problem. He even called the O&M DME definitions nebulous, meaning we really can't get our arms around it. So I think it is easier to say you're just spending on steady state or legacy systems, because there's also restrictions that come with new funding. When you say we're going to put new money into it, all of a sudden this whole host of other rules come into play. And I think those new rules is part of what has to get looked at. What color is the money, how long you have the money for, versus steady state funding. You just say, well, we spent $1 million last year, we're going to spend $1 million this year, we're good to go, move on. There's less, I don't want to call it oversight, but less restrictions, as one former OMB official called it, who told me.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. I guess nebulous is a good way to describe systems that have cloud as part of the storage in there. And which gets me to my next question is, you're writing this week also about how cloud computing, cybersecurity, it's all coming together at the highest non-classified security levels. So that sounds like a step up from what FedRAMP allows. What's going on there?
I think FedRAMP's a big piece of this. And in fact, what's happening is the Defense Department and FedRAMP are going on similar glide paths, and I think you're going to eventually come together. You had Matt Goodrich on your show just last week talking about the high baseline and the pilot program going on around the high baseline. And in fact, the high baseline standards are going to be coming out in the next month or so. At the same time, the Defense Department is approving cloud vendors at what they call the level 5. Tom, now this is the one level below the classified range. So you're basically sensitive but unclassified. That's how important this information is being classified. And IBM became the second cloud provider to DoD to receive what they call a conditional authority to operate. And this is important because now IBM and Amazon have met that requirement. At the same time, FedRAMP is moving toward the high baseline. DoD is part of FedRAMP. So if you see it all moving together, eventually when this high baseline comes out from FedRAMP, your IBM and Amazon, just to name two of the cloud providers, will be ahead of the pack in some ways, but also give agencies confidence that, look, DoD's already approving these vendors. So things are really coming together. And I think that's an important sign to of where cloud security is heading, because there is a growing need for more security in the cloud for a higher level or more sensitive data to be stored and secured in the cloud.
So if civilian agencies see DoD okay with these level 5 providers, that should be good enough for civilian agencies.
In many ways, you're right. I think, you know, DHS or Justice or Treasury or whomever will say, they are meeting this specific level that works for DoD. We can just take a quick look at it, make sure it meets our needs, and then we can go from there. And I think that's key, because if DoD was waiting for FedRAMP or FedRAMP was waiting for DoD, it would cause more delays. But because they're on similar paths, and I think, again, they're going to meet in the next month or so, I think that's a great sign for where this whole initiative is going.
And it could not be a complete Jason Miller reporter's notebook without comings and goings and retirements and so forth. So you've got a couple of interesting ones this week also.
Yeah, two agency CIOs quietly retired, if you will. They kind of stepped out in the middle of the night. Charlie Armstrong, the Customs and Border Protection Chief Information Officer, he'd been CIO since June 2008, so just over 7.5 years. He retired as of February 4th. And Charlie has been someone who's been a big part of the community. He was deputy CIO at DHS for some time. So this is a big loss. I mean, this is someone who a lot of knowledge, a lot of expertise, but also a lot of respect in the community. At the same time, Hari Bazwada, the CIO of the Army Program Executive Office for Information Enterprise Systems, PEOEIS, also quietly left government at the end of January. Again, Hari's been around for 25 plus years. And Tom, if you remember him, he was the one who really pushed through the Pentagon renovation for all their IT. Not only after the September 11th attacks, but before then, he was in charge of the IT part of this $2 billion renovation project for the Pentagon. So he's been a huge member of the federal community. And, you know, just it's always a little sad when people come and go. And it's good for them because they have the next part of their career. But at the same time, it's the federal community gets just a little bit smaller.
All right. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks as always for that update.
Always a pleasure.
Read Jason's Inside the Reporter's Notebook, his weekly feature, now online at federalnewsradio.com.